Hi, my name is Matt Farina, and you might know me as MFer or MFer on Drupal.org. I've worked on such books as Drupal 7 Module Development with a great cast of characters. I've been a Drupal.org core contributor, and that's where you might know me from. This is episode 34 of the Modules Unraveled podcast.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast, where the Drupal community speaks. And now, your host. One winter, he hosed down the patio to make a skating rink. It didn't work. Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and today I have with me Matt Farina. Matt is an engineer at HP Cloud, where he works on their web presence, some language libraries, and other things he can't talk about yet. So, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for inviting me and having me on your podcast. How are you?
I'm great. You know, I've actually wanted to have you on for quite a while and couldn't figure out what to talk about with you. I just knew that I wanted to have you on the show. And some recent tweets you've been putting out about HP Cloud, and I was like, hey, HP Cloud. I could have them talk about HP Cloud.
Well, thank you. You know, I like to talk, and I seem to have skill at it, sometimes a little too much. So if you ever have, you know, something you want to talk about, or even just curious, just ask. I can probably come up with something.
Okay. And one thing you didn't mention, people might know you from the Geeks and God podcast. It was one of my favorite podcasts and one of the things that got me kind of started in Drupal, to be honest. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to do. We ended up running out of things to talk about and going in different directions, but to podcast for years. And we talked about a lot of Drupal stuff on there too.
Yeah, it was good. Well, do you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about you and kind of where you're from?
Well, I'm from Michigan. I live in, you know, a lot of people, when they think of Michigan, they think of Detroit or, you know, the violence or the obesity or a lot of other things that come out in the news about Michigan. But I come from an area that is a cross between suburbia and rural in Michigan. And that's where I still live today. My wife found a house about 5 minutes from my parents. She can never hold that against me. She found it. And so that's where I'm from. My background, I actually have an electrical engineering background, but I've been writing software for something like 20 years. And so that's a little bit about my background.
Cool. Well, what brought you into Drupal?
What brought me into Drupal? Probably the Geeks and God podcast. We decided we wanted to talk about stuff and we needed some way to publish a podcast. And so what were we going to do it on? We had previously, I'd worked with Bob Christensen, Rob Feature, on the Geeks and God podcast. We'd worked on some other projects before, and we were trying to figure out how can we do dynamic stuff. At first, it was HTML pages with some embedded PHP scripts, then some scripts that helped us manage content on top of functionality. And that kind of led us down to, okay, well, we got to bite the bullet on the CMS. And I think maybe the first site we ever did in the CMS was the Geeks and God podcast site back in something like Drupal 4.7. We'd been tinkering with different CMSs and evaluating them. And that was finally when we bit the bullet, because we needed to do dynamic stuff on the web. Stuff that me as a programmer with a, you know, an engineering background could code to, and Bob as a designer and a content guy could do crazy things with, move stuff all over the page, get crazy with visuals, go outside the box. And we looked at Mambo, which, you know, became Joomla and WordPress and some of these things, and Drupal is what we picked, and that's where we got started.
Cool. Well, then what's the most recent thing you've been working on?
HP Cloud. Lots and lots and lots of stuff over at HP Cloud. Mm-hmm. At HP Cloud, as far as sites go, we have four Drupal sites right now. blog.hpcloud.com, docs.hpcloud.com, community.hpcloud.com, and hpcloud.com proper. They're all Drupal sites, and that's where I've been spending my Drupal time.
So at HP Cloud, do you actually build the sites, or are you back-end, or what's your involvement there?
When it comes to the sites, I have touched everything from kind of the DevOps side of deployment, managing those type of things, all the way through coding CSS and JavaScript and putting pieces together, talking through and helping discover how we're going to, we've got this idea for part of a site. Let's kind of pick that apart and figure out practically what does that mean, and then actually go out and build it and deploy it and do everything in between.
How many people do you work with? Like, what's the team size there?
The team that I'm on that works in the Drupal sites, so I work in a department called Developer Experience. It's big and it's broad, and we really deal with a lot of stuff. Like there's a whole team that deals with console.hpcloud.com, which is the console you log in to manage your services. And I've worked a little bit with that team. Like I worked on skinning that, which is a Rails app. Then we do other things like language libraries and documentation and some of that stuff. But the group that really focuses on the Drupal sites, which is the four sites we have, right now is just myself and Matt Butcher. And it's the two of us who are doing all those things. We also have Laura, who's a UX person who's come in, and we've had, you know, various people touch it over time, but the primary people who work on it are just Matt and myself, the Matts.
Cool. Okay, well, then let's go ahead and talk about HP Cloud. First of all, what is it?
HP Cloud is a cloud hosting platform. You can think about it like the other cloud hosting platforms that are out there. You know, Amazon's got some cloud hosting, Google's got some cloud hosting, Rackspace has some cloud hosting, even Dell has some cloud hosting now. And this is HP's go at producing a great cloud hosting platform. We have our first generally available things out in our object storage and CDN and our identity services, some of the things around that, and we're building out areas like compute engines and database as a service.
Okay, so then what kinds of things, you mentioned CDN, but what other kinds of things does it offer that you don't get with a typical hosting environment?
Well, cloud hosting is a little different than a typical hosting. I still have hosting accounts of my own, as we were talking about before, with Media Temple and things like that. And with, you know, traditional hosting, you might get a virtual machine that sits out in their cloud and you pay for so much bandwidth for something like that, where you spin up multiple virtual machines and you kind of get that virtual machine and you can host it and live with it. When it comes to the cloud, you get lots of services that you can use in a lot of different ways. One of them is obviously virtual machines. A lot of them are called compute or compute instances, terms like that, Elastic Cloud Compute. We just call ours compute. And that's where you can spin up virtual machines of different sizes. You can load different operating systems on them, save certain configurations of operating systems and load them on there. But then outside of the virtual machines, you get lots of other auxiliary services. For example, object storage. An object is basically a file, and it's you can store it. And you don't have to necessarily have a server of a certain, you know, gigabytes in space on that drive and then share it and it comes out of that drive. And if you want to move it to another system, you've got to go to this other system. It's just storage that sits out there. And then a CDN, a content delivery network, you can turn on that sits on top of that. So instead of getting the files directly out of there, they can go over a CDN, which provides all kinds of front-end performance improvements. And that's just kind of an add-on service to that type of thing. And then there's things like databases as a service. Instead of creating a virtual machine where you have to go install the operating system and everything you need, and then go install the database system, and then spit up the database and configure it, you could just say, give me this database, and it sends back, here's the host, here's the username, here's the default password, go. And you can just connect to it like with a MySQL client. And so there's some of these auxiliary services that come out on top of it. And so this is kind of our go at doing those things.
Okay. I kind of want to pick some of those apart because I don't know much about how these work. But so the virtual machines that you mentioned with HP Cloud, are those just like any other virtual machine that you get from anywhere else as far as like functionality?
Sort of. A lot of times when you go to a hosting provider and they give you a virtual machine, they're going to give you something with all this predefined stuff that they think you're going to want. Like you get it and it's ready to run Ruby and it's ready to run a LAMP stack and it might out of the box and you might have a control panel you log into on that virtual server where you say, give me this site with this config and those things. A lot of times what you'll get with our servers is something a little bit more bare bones. Like you might just get Ubuntu, you know, the latest Ubuntu. And you can choose from a select box and what you want. And so some of them get much more detailed. Like you might get the latest Ubuntu or the latest CentOS or something like that that you can install. And then from there, you build on top of it using, you know, choosing what you really want for that VM. And when you get into some of the cloud providers, like you talked about to the Pantheon guys last week. And when you talk to some of these more cloud providers, then they'll run scripts and stuff. They'll say, give me a VM. Give me this operating system, I'll run my scripts and I'll just install it. And they can use tools like Chef and all these different ways to manage it, but they install their own base that they test and things like that. Or you can get virtual machines that may give you more. Like one of the virtual machines we have is Staccato, which is kind of, it's Cloud Foundry based. It's kind of a Heroku or an AppFog in a box where you can get the CLI and push stuff out there and do all those types of things that you would with those guys. So there's all these different options, and it's kind of an OS image with just different options type of install.
Okay.
And then, it may be more confusing.
No. I think that's good. And then, like, are there different levels, I guess, where you can have so much storage or so much bandwidth? Do you do that kinds of those kinds of things with your virtual machines?
Oh, yeah. Virtual machines come in all kinds of different sizes, from extra small all the way up to gigantic, gigantic machines. And, you know, it starts off with one virtual core, so much RAM, so much hard drive space. And then all of those things kind of grow in size.
Okay. Okay, cool. And then you mentioned the storage, like, I forget what you call it, but the self-standalone storage.
Yeah, it's kind of object storage. It's basically just storage that sits out in the cloud, and you pay for how much space you have, you pay for how much, you know, bandwidth is served out of it. And then it's just storage that sits out there, and you can consider it almost infinite. I mean, you could just put stuff up there and put more and more stuff up there, and it just kind of sits out there.
And so is that then like the Amazon S3 type thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And that you just pay by how much is on there or how much it's downloaded or?
Yes. It's akin to something like cloud files. So HP Cloud, and this is one of the things I don't think I touched on so far, is built on a technology called OpenStack. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
So OpenStack is an open source platform for building the cloud. It started with Rackspace and NASA, and they took their kind of their needs and their stuff, and they open sourced it. And now an open source community is continuing to build out on it. So when we talk about, like, there's Rackspace Cloud, that's OpenStack powered. And our stuff is OpenStack powered. So we're getting into, really, we're a lot like Rackspace in what we offer, because we're built on the same open source foundations for things like compute and for object storage and for some of these things.
Okay. And then I think the last thing I wanted to ask about was the CDN you mentioned. Where do you guys have servers at that the CDN would serve from?
Akamai. So everywhere.
Okay.
We have a partnership with Akamai to do the CDN for this stuff. So everywhere that Akamai is, and they're the biggest CDN provider in the world, is where this will work.
Okay, cool. Okay, so then how does someone get Drupal on HP Cloud? Is there any special setup? I know there's an HP Cloud module. How does that all kind of fit together?
So we had this whole philosophy of, we're going to have our sites, we're going to eat our own dog food, and we want to run in our own cloud wherever possible, right? You know, it gives clients the ability to say, hey, look, they are using their own dog food. They're just not selling the stuff. They're actually using it. So from the get-go, we said, all right, I was hired to come in and do Drupal stuff on it. Now, how do we make Drupal play nicely with these things? So that's what we went ahead and did. And the HP Cloud module is the Drupal integration that came out of that. It was our integration to run on our cloud, and hey, we're going to share it with everybody. Now, the foundation for that is a PHP library called HP Cloud-PHP. It's hosted over on GitHub. It's available under an MIT license. And we said, all right, we're going to do this, but we also want this library to be able to be used in other things. If somebody wants to use it in WordPress, or if they want to use it in a Symfony application or something like that, they can go grab it and use it. And so we started to build out in that library. Whenever we needed something in Drupal, we would add it to the PHP library and then make sure it worked nicely with Drupal using the HP Cloud module. And so if you want to run it in the cloud, like we're doing with our blog site, you can go ahead and do something like that by using the module. And it provides some basic things, right? It provides things like, for our files directory, for our public and private files, we can host those in object storage. So our blog site runs on multiple servers, and instead of using some of the more traditional ways to have a shared file system, we are sticking, when somebody goes to upload a file through the media module, it gets uploaded to object storage, and it's stored in there. And then when it's served out over a CDN.
Hmm.
And we, you know, for the Drupal integration, we said, okay, sign in with your HP Cloud account. Now select what containers you want to do what in, and it'll just work.
Huh, cool.
So it gives us CDN integration. It gives us scalability. It works with things like image cache or image styles in Drupal 7, JavaScript and CSS, automated generation, all that stuff.
Hmm. So if somebody wanted to check this out or get started, where should they go?
Well, if they wanted to get started with this, they should probably go to the HP Cloud module, which is drupal.org/project/HP Cloud. There's also an article over on our blog that talked about how we did it with our blog. So we run our blog on our own infrastructure. And Matt Butcher, who I work with, went and wrote this great article floating on a cloud inside our blog architecture that talks about compute, how we host our files. And so this is, if you want to get into it, this is a good read because it'll, you know, dive into some of those things and really get you going. Now, for this stuff, we did things like we didn't just run on base Ubuntu. We actually used Staccato, which is what I touched on earlier, which is built on Cloud Foundry. And our object storage. So one of the things the HP Cloud module does that I didn't touch on before is, so there's backup and migrate. It's a great way to back up your files, right? Or your database.
Mm-hmm.
We have integration for that for HP Cloud. You can go into install backup and migrate, install the HP Cloud module, which has integration for this, and you can put your database backups into object storage.
Hmm.
And so that's one of the things that we started off doing too, is we backup to our own object storage, and we can actually backup files too, because there's the backup and migrate files module, and we have integration with that, so we can push our files backups into object storage as well. So you can do things like that. And that might be the easiest way to get going, is just to say, my site needs backups. I'll stick them in HP Cloud's object storage.
So can somebody who's not hosting on HP Cloud do that with their backups?
Yeah. You don't have to be hosted on HP Cloud to push the backups there. You can be hosted virtually anywhere and just push them up.
Okay, and then I guess that brought up the question, what about the security with putting databases up there? What kind of security are you guys implementing around that?
Security, well, access control to this is really defined around what you do. Right now, we have a pretty simple access control. We have a user will have a tenant, and then that tenant, you know, it's something that will eventually be able to be shared amongst users, but you choose what users. And then a container, which is where you would put this in, is either public or private. If it's public, well, lots of people can get to it. If it's private, only people who have access to that tenant can get access to it.
Hmm.
And you control those things.
Okay. So it's really up to the user. So
really up to the person.
Okay.
But you can shut it down so only one person with one login can have access to this file.
Hmm. Okay.
And so it's an easy way to do it. It's similar. Backup and Migrate already provides backup abilities for things like S3 and stuff like that. And it just works along those same lines.
Okay.
So that's the easiest way to get in. But if you want to host a Drupal site, you know, you can have your objects and your files stored in object storage and served out. The HP Cloud module does that. You can run it on compute. We have MySQL as a service. It's our database as a service. It's relational database from MySQL is the marketing name they came up with. And we thought it was good enough that we're using it for our backend. It's still in private beta. But we feel solid enough and are working with those guys. So we've signed up for the private beta, and blog.hpcloud.com is using our MySQL as a service to do its database.
Okay. What other services, I guess, are you guys using on blog.hpcloud? You've mentioned the file storage and the database. What else are you guys doing that kind of uses HP Cloud services?
We're using the server, compute server, which is running Staccato VM instances. And that's probably about it that's really custom right now. Right now, we only have a handful of services that are out. Compute, object storage, block storage. And we look for a way to see if we could integrate that in, and we really didn't see a nice way. We're using identity services, which is kind of the easiest way to put it is that's our kind of just the authentication mechanism. So when you go to do stuff in the cloud, right, there's all these different services they have. You really need one central authentication source that deals with all of that stuff, gives you your catalog of different things you've services you signed up for, tells you where to go for those things. And we are using that as well. That's okay. Called identity services. It's kind of core to any cloud service.
Right. Okay. Was there anything else that you kind of wanted to mention about HP Cloud? Because I have some questions about front-end performance, but is there anything else you wanted to say before we move on?
I guess the only thing is, you know, I work there, so I should give the little pitch. Right now, there is a free promotional. If you go over to hpcloud.com, you can sign up for an account and get a certain amount of stuff for free. The details are up there. I can drop a link directly in. And then right now, there is a 50% off published prices for HP Cloud. HP Cloud Compute, I should say. So if you wanted to go over there and take a look at some of this stuff, there's a certain amount free. There's some 50% off stuff. So right now, I'm having a lot of fun playing with our own cloud stuff. So I obviously will point other people to it too.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, then I wanted to mention, I've seen you talk a lot about front-end performance, and I saw you talking at DrupalCon Denver, and I know you've done a lot more than just the one talk. So what's the deal with you and front-end performance? Because you're not really, I mean, that's not what you're doing at HP.
Yeah. So I was on vacation a few years ago now. I was on vacation with my wife and I had my awesome Android phone there. And I said, you know what? I'm on vacation. I'm not going to take my laptop. When we're going to go find stuff to do, you know, we want to go find the hours for the museums in this or that town. I'm just going to open up my phone, use my great 3G connection, pull up sites and find it out. Then I can't get in trouble for, you know, having my laptop out on vacation. Mm-hmm. Because that always ends up going into bad places. And the connection sucked. And I couldn't pull up sites worth a darn. And I ended up, there were a couple of times I think I called the place to get the information because I just couldn't get it on the web. Hmm. And it was faster for me to find their phone number, call them, and talk to somebody than to pull up their website and find out what was going on. And I'm an impatient person when it comes to the web. You know, some of the studies have talked about how people expect sites to load in like 3 seconds or less, and even on mobile devices, and they want this good experience where they can find what they want real quick. And I was sitting there really, really frustrated that I couldn't find what I was looking for fast. And so I started to say, why is this problem here? I want to, you know, not have this issue. And that's when I realized, oh, it's because a lot of these sites aren't optimized for the world we live in. You know, if I'm on a fast computer and I got a fast browser, it'll come up quick. But if I'm on a mobile device and I'm pulling it over a 3G network, it doesn't come in that quick because they didn't build for it. It's slow and it's bad. Nobody ever, you know, they weren't thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to start talking about it and figuring out what are the practical things you can do. What, you know, where would you go with something like this if you wanted to correct that problem so I could help other people get there? So when I use their sites, it would be faster for me. It was totally selfish.
Okay, then what are some good tips for people who want to do that?
I think the easiest thing when it comes to doing this is when you think about, there's kind of two parts. There's mobile networks and mobile devices is maybe the easiest way to think about it. 3G is not that fast. And bandwidth isn't really what helps. Think about it as the round trip time, the time when you ping stuff. Right? If you ping something on a desktop, it might take you 50 or 100 milliseconds. On a 3G connection, it might take you four times as long as that. Some people get even more than four times as long as that. So you really want to minimize file size and the number of connections to the servers. So, you know, JavaScript and CSS aggregation are, if you're on a Drupal site, turn that on. I did a poll once, right? I started going to and speaking about this. And before I'd go, I'd start just randomly, just take a selection of Drupal developers. And I'd go look at their sites and see who had JavaScript and CSS aggregation turned on. And it was like a 50-50 shootout to see who had that enabled. Hmm. Only like 50% of the time did people have that enabled. And it can make a huge difference on performance. So, you know, cut those types of things down. Cut file sizes down. If you've got images on your site, most of the time, they're not optimized for the web. I use a tool called Image Optim, which just shrinks that stuff down, removes all the stuff. It's lossless optimization. If I stick a PNG in there or a JPEG, it removes stuff in there that doesn't have to do with image quality. You know, stuff like that. And then when it comes to mobile devices, on the mobile devices now, if you want JavaScript to execute on there compared to a desktop, it takes about 10 times as long. Right? If you've got large images, they take a lot longer to render. So try and cut that stuff down. Hmm. That's the easiest things to go. I did develop a module for it called the Speedy module, drupal.org/project/speedy. And that takes Drupal core JavaScript and it provides a minified version. It can cut, depending on your page and what you're using, you know, a couple hundred K out of a page request. Huh. So there's that. It's a Drupal 7 only module. But that's one of the things I developed for hpcloud.com because I wanted to ship this stuff faster.
Gotcha. Yeah, I have been using Image Optim actually since I heard you talk about it at Denver, but I hadn't heard of the Speedy module. I'll have to check that out.
Great. So okay. Yeah, that's kind of where I would go with it. Is it's just in terms to think about it. I've spoken on it 3 times at DrupalCon and another time. There's some stuff. I can give you some links to put into the show notes that, you know, can point people to where they want to learn more. They can learn about this stuff.
Okay.
So yeah, that'd be good. There's even some like add-ons for image styles. If you're doing certain things, if you're using something like Image Magic instead of the GD library, you can throw an add-on on and turn it on with, you know, certain image styles, and it can cut out some things and do a little bit of what Image Optim does. There's stuff like that that you can do.
Hmm. All right. Yeah. Let's put those links in the notes. They'll be at modulesunraveled.com/podcast/034. Okay. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Matt?
What? I haven't talked enough.
That was pretty quick, actually. I mean, that was only 25 minutes.
For how long?
25 minutes.
25. Wow. This is a short episode, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think I can come back around to HP Cloud and cloud technologies.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, right, I haven't been contributing as much to the Drupal world, you may have noticed, or maybe people haven't noticed. I used to be more of a Drupal core contributor. And really, I haven't had a whole lot of time lately because I've been playing in the cloud. It's kind of a neat thing to do, to get out there and work on some of those cloud and work on some of those other open source projects. It's led me to, are you familiar with Composer?
No, I'm not.
HP project. Getcomposer.org. It's a way to manage PHP libraries in a project. And Symfony is using it. We've started to use it at HP Cloud a little bit. And it's getting pretty big. There's discussion about moving Drupal core to using it to manage some of these things.
Hmm.
So Drupal 8, if people don't know, includes certain Symfony components. Larry Garfield and some of these guys have gotten some of this stuff included that, you know, why rewrite stuff if there's some great libraries out there like Symfony that are already doing these things? Why not leverage the libraries instead?
Right.
And so parts of Symfony have been included into Drupal 8. And there's talk now of using Composer to manage the inclusion rather than manually downloading files, downloading the updates, putting them into the Git repo and committing them.
Hmm.
Why not just, Composer has some commands like Composer update that will just do the update for you. And make it easier to manage. So that's one of the nice things. And there's, if you're familiar with Ruby, there is, it's kind of like a bundler for Ruby. That's an easy way. A little bit like NPM, Node PM, Project Manager, or what, NPM for Node, but it doesn't let you do certain global things. It's kind of a replacement for a lot of what people were using Pear for, and it even includes Pear integration.
Hmm.
I've walked away a pretty big fan, and they have a site called Packagist, which shows you all of the packages, just like you can go to the Ruby Gems website and see all the different gems. There's packages for this too.
Hmm, that sounds good.
Yeah, it really does. There's a lot of neat stuff that's happening with Drupal 8 right now. Some kind of exciting things. You know, have you been following much with the Drupal 8 stuff?
I've kind of indirectly. I mean, I've talked with some of the guys who are doing the core initiatives on the show, and so I'm really excited about it, but I'm trying not to get too excited because I know it's not going to be released till next August or something like that. And so I'm trying to live in what we've got now so that I'm not looking, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
I understand that. I think I get a little bit excited about Drupal 8 stuff because I get a chance to talk to some of these guys. Hey, Rocker, Greg Dunlap, mm-hmm. You know, I'll talk to him in IRC, John Albin. I'll chat with him in IRC and hear from some of these guys. So they're like, if you're interested in front-end performance, they're looking for people to help them improve some of this stuff. There's an initiative to do a bunch of improvements to JavaScript front-end performance from Drupaler Nod. He's spearheading some of that stuff. They've had conversations around it. Rob Loach is another guy doing some good work. He's also exploring the Composer stuff. There are a lot of guys doing a lot of good work right now. And Drupal 8, I think, is more exciting for me. I like the technology behind stuff mm-hmm. than even a lot of the stuff that was happening in Drupal 7 was exciting for me.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really big jump, but there's so much cool stuff happening.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I like all of the technologies that I hear about, the things that are happening, I'm like, that's awesome. Especially like the configuration management initiative, just it being a file that I could move to another site and it be configured the same. And all of that is super exciting, but like I said, it's a year away, and so I have to stay focused on what I'm doing now. I'm just glad that there are people like you who are interested in that enough that they're willing to look forward, while the rest of us are kind of using what we've got, and they're kind of building the next generation. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think another really interesting thing, and I'm probably totally derailing from the topics that we came here for, but another interesting thing that I found is there are a number of CLI utilities being written in PHP that it's kind of interesting to see PHP being used to write CLI applications. You know, a lot of the stuff that I'd used previously would be things like Compass and Sass. Are you familiar with Compass and Sass? Is a CSS. Okay. So Compass and Sass is, you know, it's an alternative to CSS that, that generates the CSS. That stuff's written in Ruby. And when I go and create minified JavaScript, I'm using Uglify.js, which it's producing better, smaller files than everything else out there. jQuery uses it and those things. I have that as installed as an NPM package for command line utility. I type Uglify.js space. I think it's the file of it. And I've got scripts that do it now, but, and it just minifies it for me. It's great. But I'm starting to see people write PHP applications that utilize the same thing. I mean, in the Drupal community, we always had Drush, right? But what about some of the other things? Composer is a PHP application written as a CLI app. And I think a lot of this might be stemming from some of the nice work, again, in the Symfony community, where they have a part of it. There's a console add-on. You can use it independently. You can include it in Symfony. That produces a bunch of nice parts to actually write CLI applications in PHP. It's kind of interesting, and I'm starting to write some of my own scripting CLI-based stuff in PHP because I can utilize the libraries and do all that stuff. Yeah, and some of the same PHP libraries you might use inside of Drupal, you could use in a CLI application.
Say that again.
Same PHP libraries that you might use inside of Drupal, you could use in a CLI application written in PHP.
Can you give me an example of that?
Oh, you'd go and ask for an example, wouldn't you? I have it for just personal scripts right now.
Okay.
But maybe that's something that I should go and release on GitHub, is some of those personal scripts that show off doing some of this stuff, because it's really nice. You know, a lot of the stuff that I've heard about, it's not necessarily published scripts. Composer's a nice one. Fabian, who's the guy behind Symfony, has written some. I'm drawing blanks on the names of those. And the other ones that I've heard about come out of different companies. Like I think I read some that Etsy has some like that, and I've got some like that. So maybe it'd be nice to start doing that to make it a little bit easier for people.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and include links to those in the show notes. So make sure they're out before Wednesday.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Yeah.
To do. I like it.
Okay. Cool. Well, I guess that's everything that I had in the notes. Is there anything else you wanted to mention? We've kind of got off topic, but, you know, that's fine.
Nothing else. Go. If you've got questions, I'll say this. If you've got questions about HP Cloud or front-end performance or using Drupal on HP Cloud or writing CLI scripts or any of that stuff, ping me on Twitter, ping me on Google Plus. I'll leave you the stuff for that. Just ask the questions, because I would be glad to respond to any of it. These are all topics I could talk a lot more on than we did here today, but I don't really want to derail from it. So if you've got questions about any of this stuff specifically, let me know. I would be glad to point you in any direction I can.
Okay, great. Well, then let's go ahead and wrap up the show. I've got two questions I always ask, and you kind of just answered the second one, but we'll go over these anyways. The first one is there something that kind of gets you excited that is up and coming, something that you're not working on that you just think looks really cool or useful?
That I'm not working on right now. Well, I guess Composer, that I was just going off about, it is one of those things, because it's great for PHP projects. You know, I'll be honest, one of the cool things, and it's something that you guys touched on, or you touched on in your last show, was Pantheon. I really like the idea of specific things. So I'm one of those guys who typically likes to work on the application and the problem at hand and not have to worry about the infrastructure or the little things that I don't like to deal with, right? Mm-hmm. In the Drupal space, I'll admit, Pantheon looks pretty wicked cool, because you can you can, they deal with all that stuff for you. So you can just work on your application. Mm-hmm. There's also some other providers out there. Like there's AppFog, who is, you know, just in total disclaimer, is a partner of HP Clouds. But AppFog provides something similar to that, although it doesn't provide all the same integrations. It provides kind of just the cloud hosting platform. I can have a PHP app. I can have a Drupal app. I can do certain things, and it deals with the scale and things like that. It's kind of like a Heroku, but add some more languages to it. Some of this stuff where you can just work on what you care about and not have to deal with infrastructure is, it's just kind of a nice thing that gets out of the way. And those things really get me excited. And I personally am not working at any of that stuff right now. So it's just kind of nice to see all of that happen. I spent way too much time a couple weeks ago. I was tracking down why a server that I was, you know, I host through a provider, it's a traditional VM, was a spam box. And I was jumping through all of these hoops. And it's like, I just want something where I don't have to deal with being an IT admin because I want to work on code. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see providers out there doing that type of thing.
Yep. Okay. And then the last thing I ask is, where can people find out more about you and your projects?
The easiest place is you could probably, if you want to get my personal site, you can hit mattf.org or mattfarina.com. I have a blog at engineeredweb.com. And Twitter, you can find me at Matt Farina. And those are probably the easiest places where you'll get directed to anything else. And that's where you can find me on the web. I tend to tweet a lot, I'll be honest. A lot of it's using a new thing that I think is pretty cool. Matt Butcher got me into, which actually came via his wife getting him into it. It's something called Buffer App. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I use it sometimes. I started using it for a while, and then I've kind of just petered off because I don't use it too much, but...
Yeah, it's great. I can jump on Twitter in the morning and I can throw a bunch of tweets in there that'll go out throughout the day. And next thing you know, in the middle of the day, I get distracted by a conversation I actually started just then through Buffer, but I totally forgot about Twitter. So I can get some nice distractions, but I don't have to focus on it all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Buffer is cool. Okay. Cool. Well, Matt, thanks for coming on. I'm really glad I finally got a reason to get you on the show. It was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's fun to get out and do this stuff.
Yeah. And we'll see you around Twitter.
See you around.
If you liked this episode, check out modulesunraveled.com/podcast to get more information about it. And while you're there, you can listen to other episodes or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or your favorite podcast software. Also, check out the Drupal videos on the site. There are a number of series available, each teaching various subjects in Drupal 7, like setting up a newsletter, configuring organic groups, or how to make the images on your site responsive to complement your responsive design. Thanks for listening. Feel free to get in touch and keep those suggestions coming about who you want to hear from on the podcast. That's it for this episode of the Modules Unraveled podcast, and I'll talk to you next week.